Amen. Well, as Dr. Evans said, we are starting a new sermon series, which is entitled Finding Grace in Unexpected Places. And today, that unexpected place is finding the ram in the thicket. So this will be a course of sermons taking place all throughout the month of July, and then we will change topic all throughout August. But I would encourage you through this sermon series to certainly look for grace in unexpected places within your life. God calls us to that because our God is one who works in mysterious ways and not always ways that we plan out or predict. So let us watch for God's hand at work. Well, have you ever had something happen to you that was really a good thing or a really good experience, but way deep down you knew or you felt like you didn't really deserve it? So here's a small example. Last Father's Day, Janet, Brittany, and I, we went out to a restaurant, and the food was a little bit delayed in coming to the table. So when it came time to pay the check, the server came over and he said, "And sir, your dessert is free. It's complimentary today." What a gift. What a blessing to be able to eat that dessert and not have to pay for it, for sure. A small example, but perhaps here's a better one. Perhaps you meet a really wonderful and incredible person and you fall madly in love with them, but deep down you are unsure if you really deserve that person because they are so good. There's a lot of grace in the relationship that's coming your way. Or the same could apply to friendship. You find a friend who's easy to be with, easy to bear your soul to, great fun and very supportive, but deep down you recognize that they, just because of who they are and for no other reason, that they're putting more into the friendship than what you are. Now imagine, let's change this up a little bit, that the chips are down and that you find yourself particularly needy and someone offers you a really big hug. Or maybe they offer you a really big cash loan. Or perhaps they take you shopping or out to lunch when you felt down or in a funk with your life to help lift your spirits up. But let's kick it up even a notch from there. Let's say one day you made a huge mistake. Have you been there? Can I see a show of hands? Yes, can I see all the hands in the sanctuary, please? Yeah, we've all made huge mistakes. Let's say that for whatever reasons, you dropped your moral standards. Okay? Or let's say that you walked away from your faith. And I've known people to do so. Maybe, just maybe, you undertook a course of behavior saying to yourself, "I know that this is wrong, but I don't really care that it's wrong." And you didn't really care whom you were harming in the process, yourself or even others. When asked to justify your bad behavior with the question of, "Why'd you do it?" You know, you flippantly reply, "Because I can." Yeah, you hear a lot of that lately, right? And so just because you can do whatever you want or like whenever you want becomes the new rationale for how your decisions are made and how you choose to live your life. Just because I can, you know? But deep down, you know this to be a mistaken path. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Deep down, the more you focus on whatever works for me. Everyone say that with me. Whatever works for me, yeah? The lonelier and the emptier you feel on the inside. Or what if the huge mistake was taking something that didn't belong to you? An object, or perhaps even another person. Perhaps you heard in the news this week that two men were busted in Sharonville on sex trafficking charges. They were forcing a young girl to have sex against her will. To me, that amounts to robbing someone of their personhood yet if not even their very own soul. Or perhaps the huge mistake was being purposely deceptive, willfully arrogant, or intentionally manipulative. What if you closed yourself off preferring your own hurt? It's my hurt. An inner hatred. I don't like myself. Over forgiveness and healing and love. All of these thoughts, behaviors, and experiences are in play when grace, the theme of our sermon series, is considered. So what is grace? First of all, grace is an experience and not really a belief. If you just believe in grace and you haven't experienced grace, your walk with God is missing something. Kind of like the experience of going to the ballpark. I read about a baseball game that took place this week, and it was a matchup between the Lord's team and Satan's team, okay? And the Lord's team was at bat, and the score was 0-0, and it was the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs, so you know the pressure is on. And the coach and the Lord, they stood by observing the game, and as they watched, a batter stepped up to the plate whose name was Love. And Love swung at the first pitch and hit a single because love never fails. Right? Uh-huh. The next batter was named Faith, who got a single because faith works with love. Does it not? Yes. And the next batter was named Godly Wisdom. Satan wound up and threw the first pitch. Godly Wisdom looked it over and let it pass. Whew, ball one. Three more pitches and Godly Wisdom walked because Godly Wisdom never swings at anything that Satan throws its way, right? Absolutely not. The bases were loaded. The Lord then turned to the coach and told him he was now going to bring out his star player. Up to the plate stepped Grace. Coach said, sure doesn't look like too much, Lord. And Satan's whole team, well, they just relaxed when they saw Grace, thinking he had won the game. Satan wound up and fired his pitch. And to the shock of everyone, Grace hit the ball harder than anyone could have ever imagined. But Satan was not worried, as his center fielder let very few balls get by. He went up for the ball, but can you believe it? It went right through his glove, hit him on the head, and it sent him crashing to the ground. Then it continued over the fence for a home run. The Lord's team won. The Lord then asked the coach if he knew why Love, Faith, and Godly Wisdom could get on base, but they could not win the game. And the coach said, I don't really know why. And the Lord explained, if your love, faith, and wisdom had won the game for you, you would have thought that you had done it by yourself. Love, faith, and wisdom will get you on base, but only my grace can get you home. Yeah? And so grace is something that happens to you that you don't really deserve. Our secular culture really has no clue what grace is, because at the end of the day, grace and faith go hand in hand, but more of that as we go along. The world around us, the non-Christian secular world, likes to call grace what? Good fortune? Good luck? In ancient times, they called it the will of the gods, you know, but no one believes in the will of the gods any longer. Grace, best understood, really describes an experience where God gives us something that we don't deserve and we can never earn it. So the difference is something like this. Let's say you won the lottery. Yeah? When I was growing up, my dad always bought one lottery ticket every week for $2. And he always said the same thing to me. Son, when I win the lottery, yes, we're gonna get a beautiful, you know, when I went, it was always the same, and it was like something else changed out every week. It was a brand new car, it was a brand new house, but he bought his lottery ticket every week for $2, and I feel that he always felt that he was gonna win, but it never happened, okay? So, such is the lottery. I mean, let's just say, though, that you won the lottery. Against all the odds, you hit the Powerball jackpot. Now, I'm not talking six figures. I'm talking seven or eight figures, you know, one of those big, huge checks, you know, that they arrive at your front door with, you know? And so that Porsche that you have dreamed of, or that mansion in Indian Hill, oh, it's now within reach. When you win the lottery, you can have either one of two reactions. I deserve this, don't I, everybody? I deserve this big six, seven, eight figure payout. Aren't I wonderful how I deserve this? Now, this would be the attitude where you think that life owes you something, right? Usually life owes you big time, you know? One day life's going to give me a big payback because I deserve it. But this is not grace. Grace is not when you feel that you are owed anything. God owes us nothing. The other reaction is, oh my goodness, did I really, really, really win? Do I really deserve this? I mean, this is incredible. I'm so thankful. And instead of buying that Porsche, you paid for your kids' college tuition, or you helped the needy, or you helped to invest in a cure for cancer. Biblical grace is always the experience of receiving that which we feel that we did not deserve. We don't deserve to be saved, and yet, surprise, Christ went to the cross, an innocent man, beaten, abused, and crucified for you and for me. And it is the job of the believer to live their life in such a way to expect the unexpected. So are you, people of God, expecting the unexpected in your daily walk with the Lord? God has got all kinds of surprises in store for us that He wants to send our way to make us more like Him. Are you expecting the unexpected? I hope and pray that you are. So as we look at Genesis 22, there are three things that we should understand about grace. First of all, the experience of God's grace is often preceded by some kind of test that God has you embark upon, as He did with Abraham. So what is the Holy Spirit asking you to do that He has not asked you to do before? Oftentimes it's easy to look back on the past and say, this is where God was at work. But by faith we say, what is it that God is going to do for me in the future that He has not done before? And the way that we can determine if anything in this life is a test of God or just our imaginary wishful thinking is by asking this question. Are you facing a decision or a situation that seems totally unreasonable or totally untenable to you? And is it a situation or a decision that goes against your better judgment or your more noble instincts? Is it a decision or a situation that you don't care to tell a soul about lest they think that you're completely mad or off your rocker? When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, whom he loved, Isaac, it would have been all of those things. A seemingly totally outlandish and unreasonable request, going against your better judgment, and you wouldn't tell a soul about it. Maybe you are there. Maybe you are facing a decision or a set of circumstances that seem outrageous, outlandish, and that at face value make absolutely no sense at all to you. But when you recognize such a moment, you move into it saying, if God has asked me to do this, then I'm going to trust in Him that He knows what He's doing. You see, that's the faith of Abraham. Why did he make that journey up to Mount Moriah? He said to himself, God knows what He's doing. Say that with me. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. So Abraham's crossroads is our crossroads too. For we must likewise, in the midst of what seems totally absurd to us, say, God knows what he's doing. I remember when I disagreed with an esteemed New Testament professor in seminary because he taught us that the resurrection, and I am embarrassed to say this, that the resurrection was largely made up, a tale invented to perpetrate the so-called myth of Jesus. And when I vigorously protested, well, I had a target on my back for the rest of the semester. Does God know what he's doing in circumstances that he has placed you in? The answer of faith declares, yes, he does. God, you sent me to seminary, and my wife is working three jobs to allow me to stay here to get a theological education. God, you know what you're doing, even though it's a tough time and difficult circumstances. Secondly, here's the thing about when God allows us to be tested. The test can come because we are already obedient, such as what Abraham was, or the testing comes to us as a way to make us obedient. Sometimes we are tested because we're not obedient, and God wants to lead us and bring us into that place of obedience. And the same is true of grace. God's grace can be experienced as a result of having faith, or the experience of grace, yes, when you receive something that you did not deserve, can lead you to faith. Wow, God, I really see how kind and generous you have been with me. And because of that, I'm going to trust and believe in you. For Abraham, he was a man of faith, but his faith was still tested. For Abraham, grace to serve to confirm his trust and faith in God. Think about Saul for a moment in Acts chapter 9. That experience that he had there being knocked off of his horse, it led him to faith. And lastly, grace must be accompanied by an element, as I have shared with you, an element of surprise. How many of you like surprises? Let's see how this goes. Okay. How many of you don't like surprises? Okay, it's like maybe like about a 50-50 thing, you know. But grace, my friends, it must be accompanied with an element of surprise. Faith that is predictable is no faith at all. At least it's not the Christian faith. It might be some other kind of faith, yeah? It was the Thessalonians who said of the apostles, these who have turned the world unpredictable. They have turned the world upside down, yeah? Now, that's not a statement one makes about a predictable faith, but a spontaneous, unpredictable faith that is filled with surprises. For when grace comes, we are asked to build an ark when it has not rained. Can you imagine? When grace comes, we are thrown into the belly of a whale. When grace comes, we, like Daniel, see the fourth man in the fiery furnace. When grace comes, Hosea is asked to marry a prostitute by the name of Gomer. When grace comes, God says to Elijah, when he's down and out and on the ropes, ready to toss in his prophetic mantle, yet I have reserve 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to the God Baal. When grace comes, the Gadarene demoniac is finally freed from his chains. When grace comes, Saul is knocked down from his high horse. When grace comes, Peter, a Jew, is asked by God to baptize Cornelius, a Gentile. All of these things are unpredictable and unexpected. And for Abraham, God's grace was given by providing for him the ram in the thicket. Look for the ram. Turn around. Look behind you. Look to your left, to your right, up and down. Look for the ram in the thicket. Which when Abraham turned around and saw, he said, I will name this place God will provide. God will provide. So where is your ram? Where is your ram that is caught in the thicket where God is saying to you, I will provide? Where is God's provision for you on full display in the unexpected circumstances of life? So many of us today need to believe in the God of the unexpected. We need to affirm, as Abraham once did, God will provide. But above all, we need to be open to looking for God in those places that ordinarily we wouldn't think that God would be. So let's do that. Let's look for Him in those places. Amen.